Blog Talk Radio.
Either you run the day, or the day runs you.
You're listening to the Goldstein on Geld Show with financial expert Douglas Goldstein. This show is designed to give general information related to investing and finance. Neither Doug Goldstein, his guests, nor the radio station are rendering legal, tax, insurance, or specific financial advice. If you require such advice, contact a competent professional advisor. Before making any investment decisions based on what you heard during the show, please review the complete disclaimer located at www.goldsteinongeld.com. And now, here's your host, Money Maven, Doug Goldstein.
Good Money Monday. Welcome to 2015. I am your host of the Goldstein on Geld Show, Doug Goldstein. I'm very excited that you're here. We are starting off the year with a great show. In the first half of the show, I'll be talking to Judy Carter, who is not only a well-known author, but she's also a fantastic speaker and comedian. And she'll be talking to us about some ways of dealing with stress and financial problems using comedy. It's not a comic show. It is just rather getting some of those ideas. If you have been a longtime listener of the Goldstein on Geld Show, you know that I regularly have comedians on the show because I think they give a great angle to looking at problems. In the second half of the show, we'll be talking to Carolyn Rosenblatt, who has developed a real interesting expertise. She is both a nurse as well as a lawyer, and she has joined forces with her husband, who is a geriatric psychologist, and they talk not only to regular people but also to financial professionals about how to deal with elder abuse, financial elder abuse. Stay tuned just a minute. I'll tell you a little story about what happened or what I've seen in the world of elder abuse.
Got a question about how you should handle your investments? Email Money Maven Doug Goldstein at doug@profile-financial.com. Then pay attention to your listener letter on Goldstein on Geld at www.goldsteinongeld.com. Names and details will be changed to protect your privacy.
I mentioned a moment ago about the issue of elder abuse in the world of finances. Unfortunately, it's quite prevalent. It happens both when people are simply getting unaware of what's going on, and sometimes they're very aware, but they just get fooled about what's happening, and sometimes it's because of misplaced trust. I had a situation where a client of mine, a woman, she came in, she said, "Doug, you know, I'm concerned about my investments. They seem to go down every month a little bit." And I looked at the investments. I said, "Actually, I don't see that at all. It seems like they're doing fine. They're doing just what they're supposed to." She goes, "Yeah, I know, but every month there's like, it's like $1,000 less than I had a month before." So I said, "Well, that's because you are withdrawing about $1,000 a month using your Visa card." And she looked at me and she said, "No, I'm not." I said, yeah, you are. Look here. Just look at your statement. It's right there." And she looked and she said, "Wait a second. I'm not using that." And then I said, "Okay, maybe your card's been stolen," and we began the procedure of dealing with the police report. And the next morning, she called our office frantically and said, "No, don't file a police report. I know what's going on. I understand what happened." And, well, to make a long story short, it turns out that months and months earlier, she had lent her Visa card that was based on this account to a relative, and he never quite bothered to give it back to her. Not only that, he continued to use it on a monthly basis. And ultimately, they sort of came to terms about this. But this is really elder abuse. This is taking advantage of someone who's not so careful with her money because he knew that she probably wasn't checking and didn't really notice what was going on. And there's no way for your financial advisor or your bank or your credit card company to recognize this because the charges were perfectly normal. It's up to you to actually keep an eye on what's going on in your statements. And if you begin to feel that maybe you don't want to follow it so much, or it's a little difficult for you to follow, or maybe even before any of that happens, try to bring in someone else who can help you just to keep an eye on what's going on in your portfolio, with your banking, with your bill paying, because not only are there regular errors that happen, but there really could be something malicious going on, and you don't want to be taken advantage of. And unfortunately, there are a lot of unscrupulous people out there, so try to follow some of these techniques. The best one is just to get someone who you really can trust to help you along.
American Olim, watch out. Even if you don't owe taxes to America, if you don't file the right forms, you could get fined. Did you file your FBAR? after you understand FATCA. Learn how to manage your U.S. investments from overseas and the tax and reporting requirements for American expatriates in the new book by Doug Goldstein. www.expatguidetomoney.com. Get the book and get in compliance with the IRS.
Okay, we are back. I'm very happy to have on the Goldstein on Gelt show Judy Carter, who you maybe have seen her in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, on CNN and CNN, but not, in fact, as a financial commentator, but rather from the standpoint of comedy. Judy is an international keynote speaker and speaking coach, and she teaches a lot of business people about bringing humor into the business place. Judy, is that really a good idea?
Well, it depends who your target is or the joke. Here's the first rule of comedy. Never poke fun at the person signing your check. Bad move. Even if they tell you, I once had did a speech at a financial company. They go, oh, our CEO loves to, you know, his hair like Elvis, do something about that. And he's really short. And that was early in my career. And I learned very quickly, don't.
All right. So when does it make sense to begin using comedy? Or we say humor? Because comedy maybe is a little bit frightening to some people because they say, I'm not a comedian. But humor, I think, is something we can all develop.
Well, here's the thing. If you aren't getting people to laugh when you speak, you are probably boring them to death. You know, it's that death by PowerPoint. I had a CPA accountant come to me, and her thing was that she wanted to get new clients and sell product. And she thought, oh, she'd give these free speeches and afterwards everybody would run and buy your product. Well, they were running, out the door when she spoke. She was so boring. She would be talking about ROI and I'm a CPA and the P&L, and nobody gave an SHIT. Because here's the thing, you're not your data that makes you interesting. We all can get data, all right? Anybody can get on the internet and find data. What makes people want to listen to you and also buy your stuff and hire you is if you have a sense of humor. Because if you speak and you don't, you know, people just then feel like poking their eyes out with a pencil. So what I did with this client, she came to me and we found some personal stories on why she was so committed. It's called what I call in my book, The Message of You. And we found these stories. And one of the stories was about her client. And that's why I say everybody needs to have, when they speak and on their website, a mess to success story of their client, how they took a client from mess to success. And she talked about this woman and whose husband died, and she didn't have, you know, his passwords, nothing. She was totally bewildered. And the accountant, my client, took her under her wing and made her really successful. And then she related to personal story when her own father died when she was 8, and she became committed to really understanding the financial realm of her life and never trusting anybody else. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, she put these two stories together because that showed her message, which was, I am about empowering you to take responsibility for your retirement. Well, I called her the other day and said, hey, Becky, are you still speaking? And she said, no. I went, what happened? She said, I can't speak anymore because every time I speak, half the audience wants me to be their accountant, and I can't take on any more clients. And now what I do is, you know, I have a product and I have a site, and I've had to expand my staff. I've had to move. I can't tell you how many problems this caused me. Good problems.
We should all have such problems. Okay. So
yes.
How did she develop from a unimpressive speaker to someone who actually could bring humor into her stories?
Well, here's the first step. Make fun of yourself. Everybody else probably is already.
Mm.
And if you're not a funny person, inherently funny, all you have to do is make fun of how serious you are. You know, you can do a little thing like if you're really, you know, button-up accountant type, data engineer type person, you know, just say something like, all right, everybody, I'm going to get a little wild now. and loosen your tie and go, oh, is that too much? Because then it's okay that you're not funny. You've made a joke about it. You go, you know, am I too wild? And then you can do things like, yes, I'm so serious. I make, you know, Mr. Spock on Star Trek look exciting. You know, just make some jokes about yourself, because that's the first step. And you can practice this in life. Mm-hmm. You know,
okay.
You could go, next time someone says, hello, how are you? Stop saying fine. It's so boring. Hello, how are you? Fine, hello. Well, I guess you don't say hello, how are you? Israel. Mani shma.
Beseder. Kol beseder.
Yeah. Kol beseder. Metziah. Everybody says the same thing. They lie. So the first step is, and we Jews are so good at this, you know, it's kind of kvetching, but with funny. You know, hello, how are you? I'm fat. Thank you.
Woo-hoo. Didn't you notice? We're talking with Judy Carter, who actually is really the perfect person to have on this show here in Israel, because, you know, in Israel, we pride ourselves on our connection to the Holy Land and our prophets. And she, in fact, literally wrote the Bible. Her book, The Comedy Bible, is a book that I read many years ago, and I got a lot out of it, which is why all of you are thinking, boy, Doug, you must really be holding back your humor now. No, I'm kidding. Though I did read the book, I don't think this is, I'm not as funny as I'd like to be. Except, Judy, sometimes when I meet with clients and we're talking about something serious, and normally, you know, it's about money and it's about husbands and wives not wanting to communicate very well about it. And I try to give people a tool that they can work with, because the fact is, if they just bang their heads against each other to deal with how they handle their investments or their saving or their spending, they're just going to, you know, walk out in, you know, of separate doors and never come back together. Can people use these same tools that you teach in daily interpersonal interactions?
Yeah, it's really important to joke fairly, because if I went to an accountant and he started joking about my money, I looked at your portfolio and what a joke, bada boom, bada bing. I would walk out the door because there's appropriate times to joke. So here's the biggest rule of comedy in the Comedy Bible. I love that I'm talking to Israel about a Bible.
Yeah.
But then again, everybody in Israel is so funny. You should. I don't even understand why you have a wailing wall. You should have a laughing wall. There's so many people there. Right? I don't understand. But anyway, but that's the whole thing about Judaism. Is that what we Jews, you know, and I can talk about this because I'm Jewish, is that we understand how to translate problems into punchlines. We understand that. We Jews understand that things get so painful that there's a point where it pushes over to the other side. But having said that, you is with couples and with relationships, you really can't joke about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then it becomes emotional abuse, and then you could get sued and
watch
lose your
line,
money,
right? Okay.
What have you. I mean, joke about yourself. That's what I say to people.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you want to find a good target, joke about yourself. Everybody probably is already. What are people laughing at behind your back? You know, when you stand up in front of a group, what do people see? You know, and then you might realize that, you know, it's not a receding hairline. It's a punchline. You have to make a joke about what people see, whether it is your age or, you know, your weight. You know, make a joke about it. If you have an accent, like I have a client now I'm coaching. He's from Colombia, and he has the very, I can't even do accents, but he has this heavy accent. And I wrote for him a joke. I said, I want him to say, you know, I've been in America for, you know, like 15 years. You're not going to believe this, but I used to have an accent. You know? and then everybody laughs.
Uh-huh.
Because when he gets on stage, everybody's going like, that guy, where is he from? I can barely understand him, you know. and then he gets a laugh. Now, here's the thing. When you get a laugh, it's okay that you're fat, you're old, you're everything's okay. Because you've transformed it. And now, wow, now you have the power to take an audience wherever you want to take an audience. And I mean an audience in terms of, you know, whether you're a professional speaker or you have to speak, but everybody has to speak at a, you know, wedding or
sometime,
a
right, sure.
business meeting, you know.
A bris, you can, a lot of good jokes to make at a bris.
Oh, yeah, don't make the Moya laugh because that could really have a disastrous effect on someone's future. Okay.
All right, so let's say that we're running low on time, but one of the things that, Judy, you are, I think, really known for is not just that you yourself are a fantastic speaker and comedian, but that you really can train people to come up with humorous ideas, not, you know, beyond the idea of, well, just, you know, make fun of your receding hairline, which I did note is interesting you chose that as the topic of today's discussion.
Oh, I just saw your picture. Oh, I'm so sorry about you.
But,
it was an example.
What tool do you want to leave our listeners with today that maybe when they stop listening, they'll say, you know, let me see if I can do that.
Okay, perfect. List of three. So let's say you've got, like, a lot of points, the data points to make that are boring people to death. Make the third one funny. It's called the list of three. So the first thing, the first two set up a pattern, and then the last one breaks the pattern and makes people laugh. So let's just, like for instance, but you have to go into it seriously. You can't, like, go tip it off. I'm telling a joke. You go, wow, it's a serious world out there. We've got bombing. We have terrorism. Kim Kardashian is a mother. It's scary. So you know, it's like, bump, 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 turn. Boy, you know, there are some subtle tips. You want to try this one, Doug? There's some subtle tips to know that your relationship is over. Subtle tips, like you're not talking, you know, so much over dinner. You're no longer cuddling at night. And last one, you got one?
She doesn't like the old John Belushi albums that you like.
That's too subtle. So you want to go subtle, obvious. So
she came to you with a baseball bat.
Right. She hit you with a baseball bat. Good. She issued a restraining order against you, and her boyfriend has moved into your bedroom.
Now you're getting a little personal with me. I wish you'd stop. You must have read about me on Wikipedia. No, I'm kidding. All is well, thank God.
Yeah.
I know, but I think that's a great tool, the steps of three. And the fact is, for people who have actually sat in my office, that is something I learned as well, also from reading a lot of your stuff, that I do think it helps sometimes because you do have to address points one and two in a serious conversation. It's not that you're saying they're not serious. It just helps to lower the stress level in a conversation. And as money is often a very stressful conversation, it's great to have some system that allows you to lower the stress and then just get to work. I think that's a really super point.
Yeah, and the biggest tip is don't try and be funny. It just works when people try and be funny, that works as well as going on a date and trying to make someone love you.
Mm-hmm.
You end up just to be annoying and single. So what you need to do is you know, have some good content, but try this list of three. And by the way, in my new book, The Message of You, I lay out some comedy formulas, because comedy is a formula in this book, that aren't for people wanting to be stand-up comics, but are for people who want, when they speak, want to be entertaining and make people laugh.
All right, so let's leave it at that. So tell us, Judy, in the last few seconds, how can people follow you, get your new book as well as your old books?
Oh, go to judycarter.com, JudyCarter, judycarter.com. I'll send you for free an MP3 file of, you know, some speaking tips, also the first chapter of my book. And you could see if you love it. Of course, you'll love it.
Of course,
why not?
You will. All right. And if you don't like it, you can email it back to her for free.
I didn't say that.
All right. But it was okay. I'm actually looking at the site now. It's very easy to sign up. It's actually a great website packed with fantastic information. And we'll put a link to that at the show notes of today's Goldstein on Gelt show at goldsteinongelt.com. Judy Carter, thanks so much for your time.
Toda rabah, lehitraot.
Lehitraot. Started the show talking about elder abuse as I was introducing my guest. the guest for the second half of the show. So make sure that after the break you come back and you listen to the interview I'll be having with Carolyn Rosenblatt, who's really an expert in the field. I think one of the problems that people have when they talk about elder abuse is they don't even necessarily know what they're referring to. Of course, unfortunately, there's actual physical abuse or emotional abuse or sexual abuse, but there's also exploitation. This is what we're really focusing on today, where people either steal or they engage in some sort of fraud or they just misuse their authority. Sometimes someone does have control over an elder person's assets or decision-making ability, and that person exploits it. You have other issues. You have neglect and abandonment, and of course there are problems of self-neglect where a person loses the ability to understand the consequences of the decisions that he's making, and those could be actually quite devastating over the long term, or in fact in the short term as well. Some of the red flags that you'll see, and this is no proof of anything, but you know, I've read a lot of articles about the topic, and one of the things they talk about is if someone has a drug or alcohol problem, that's a red flag that there might be an abuse or possible abuse issue. Sometimes you'll see a person very controlling of the elder person's actions. They'll control who the person sees or who he talks to or where they go. The abuser might try to isolate the elder person from family and friends, which of course has the added effect of increasing the dependence of the elder person on the abuser. So you have to watch out for issues like this. Sometimes the person is just going to say, if you don't do what I want, I'm going to leave you, or I'm going to send you to the nursing home. And that can be very frightening to an older person. And the other side of that, in other words, not only making the elder person feel totally dependent, would be seeming rather indifferent or apathetic to the elder person. Just saying, I don't care, do what you want, you're on your own. And again, that can be very, very frightening. And, you know, someone who's really cruel like that might minimize or the injuries or blame the victim or simply neglect the older person until he's so desperate for the help that then the abuser is able to take advantage. These are signs to look out for. Most of the time, they say, I believe that elder abuse is the abuser is a family member or a grown-up child, which is obviously very sad, but hopefully the siblings or other members of the family can chime in. We'll be talking about some of these questions in the second half of the show, so please be sure to tune in. I'll be talking to an expert in the field, a nurse and a lawyer. She is both a nurse and a lawyer, and she partnered up with her husband, who is a geriatric psychologist, to develop systems to help both families and professionals